Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to turn your Bible to Haggai chapter 2. Hey, it's good to see all of you here. What a glorious day. Listen, if you're in heaven's perspective, it's a glorious day. In your earth's perspective, well, there's a big battle going on. So it's where you're going to put your compass right now. It's going to determine what you're looking at. If you're looking at the Word of God, you're looking at His wisdom. I have the kind of the sons of Issachar anointing in His house. Understanding the signs of the times right now. And if you understand the signs of the times, it's actually a pretty awesome thing that's about to transpire on this earth. So I'm going to get very real with you today, and I'm going to share a lot of things with you today. Try to paint a picture of what is about to happen, because as soon as this begins, nothing's going to stop it. It's going to roll out. The last days are going to roll out. And once this begins, nothing will stop. And everything is moving in a precipice right now for the last day plan of God to roll out. We must see through divine perspective right now. Amen? And it's awesome when we have divine perspective, because you're not so moved by what goes on out there right now. But there is a real battle right now, and you cannot excuse that. It's a real battle right now, and understanding what the battle is, what's happening right now, and God's solution for it is going to get us a long way. Amen? So we're going to begin in Haggai chapter 2. He's prophesying to Zerubbabel, to Joshua. This is the prophetic generation that most of these prophecies between Haggai and all of Zechariah, none of these prophecies were fulfilled. The one I'm about to share with you, none of these were fulfilled all the way through Zechariah. Zechariah 4, 5, 6, 10, all of these things have to be fulfilled. They are all written and embedded in the scripture as a prophetic generation of the last days. Amen? This is rolling out now. And I'm going to take you in a certain direction today with this. So if you look at verse 6, it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts." Where is he? Lord of hosts, the Lord of angelic armies. That's the Lord that's getting ready for warfare. Whenever you see those kind of prophecies, that's warfare God. Amen. That's God that's about to intervene with heaven and heaven's armies. Amen. Yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens. I will shake the earth. I will shake the sea, and I will shake the dry land. Now, if you understand what's being shaken and what's about to be shaking, is not, I'm going to tell you right now, the shaking hadn't even started yet. But it's actually a good thing if you're on the right side of the shaking. Not so good if you're on the wrong side. On the right side, you should have already been shaken and prepared for this being the solution for God and the earth. If you're on the wrong side and you hadn't been shaken, well, things are going to get shaken. But that's a good thing, because very good things are coming out of this shaking if you understand what he's shaking. I'm going to give you a very specific today of what he's actually going to shake down. It's the battle of the ages right now. And it's deeply nested. God's church is deeply nested, and the world system's deeply nested. It's the battle of the ages, and God's going to win. Amen. It says, "I will shake all nations," and says, "the treasure of all nations shall come into my house, and I will fill this house with glory. The silver's mine, the gold is mine." Very specific why he said that. "The glory of the latter day house will be greater than the former." Now that former was Solomon's house. And Solomon's house was a very powerful, powerful demonstration of God. Solomon's house had a lot of things in it. It was an offshoot of David, and Solomon's house is really the house of David in full display. That was a house of prophetic worship. It was a house of commerce. It was a kingly house. It was a house of wisdom. I mean, the Proverbs and the Psalms was a house of 24-hour-a-day worship. You had all kinds of things moving. It was a house of great, great wealth, great, great wisdom. All of these things are going to fully restore in the latter-day house. Will be a house, and there's a reason why God is going to transfer the wealth of the nations. There's a very specific reason. It is for harvest, yes, but also it's for judgment. If you understand what he's going to judge, then you'll understand why he's judging and why he's about to turn the wealth over into the hands of God's people. Very specific, he's going to do this. And it's going to be a house full of the glory of God. It's going to rival Solomon's day's glory, and he had manifested glory. Manifested for the kings of the earth to see. So much so that the Queen of Sheba, when she came upon his house, bearing a pretty large offering herself, she said, "When I beheld the administration by which you ascended before the throne, and even your cupbearers, and the government that surrounded your throne, and the wisdom, and the prosperity, and the glory, it was like heaven that came down into earth." And she goes, "I had no spirit left in me." She actually lost it, because it was such an incredible display of glory. And yet God is prophesying here. This never was fulfilled, by the way. Never, not even an inkling of it. The latter-day house, he said it would be a kingly house. It's going to be mirrored after Solomon's house, David and Solomon's house, in which he opened the door to. And it will have an unparalleled glory to it for the last days. He said, not only will the glory be upon, he said, I will fill it. So you have wisdom, you have glory, you have 24-hour-a-day worship, you have great wealth, divine government, and another part of Solomon's house that a lot of people don't see. When Solomon prayed a prayer, he said, if the stranger, it's in our constitution, he said, if the stranger comes, Father, to this house and prays, the stranger, the foreigner that doesn't know you, but if they come and pray to this house, if they come up into this temple and pray, hear all that they ask for and do this so they may know you're the living God. And what happened to Queen of Sheba? She was a foreign queen. The Lord said that happened. He said all the kings of the earth came to descend upon the house of glory to hear the wisdom. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said that happened to everyone. Every one of those kings that were coming to that house. All the peoples of the earth came. Nobody had ever seen anything like this. Mass salvation on an unfathomable scale was taking place. There was glory everywhere. It was probably the greatest single picturesque of heaven coming down the earth that we have ever seen in any generation. The reigning of kings and priests, the reigning of a kingdom. Now, this prophecy is specifically spoken of in the book of Hebrews. This exact prophecy is spoken of, which we're going to get to that in a minute. Before that, I want to look at the glory for a minute. Go to Isaiah 6. Now, Isaiah was a very interesting day because Isaiah is getting called up into heaven. He comes up through the door and he's up into the throne of God and he's standing in the glory of God. Now, the people of God, Jerusalem, and Jewish people, they're all about to go into captivity. Every one of them. I mean, that's part of his message. But he actually, part of his message is deliverance from the captivity. Now watch what happens here, because they're speaking of our day. Everything that was prophesied to that little generation that was in Babylon was speaking to us. Mirror imaged, unfulfilled prophecy speaking to a prophetic generation that is about to come out of Babylonian captivity, and half of them don't even know they're in captivity yet. And they won't know it until they get fully delivered from the captivity into the glory of the Father's plan. Then they'll understand. Amen. It said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. Wow, I want to be there. I want to see that. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. They're still saying that today. The whole earth is full of his glory. That sounded really good, but the whole earth was not full of his glory at that time. In fact, they were all full of idolatry. They were all about to go into 70 years of captivity. And yet these seraphim were looking into another day. And Isaiah was caught up. And because he got caught up, he got into him that was. He got into him that is. And he got into him that is to come. So not only did he prophesy of his day, he prophesied of the Lord's day, and he prophesied of our day, the final day, all the way to the Cyrus generation. Yeah. The whole earth was full of the glory. They were looking at a manifestation that Solomon had in his house, but they're seeing it globally. And suddenly their eyes are open to this incredible plan that God had for the last days where the whole earth would be full of the glory of God. And Isaiah's probably thinking, what am I doing here? Because he's getting caught up to go tell these people that you're serving idolatry and you're going to captivity. But he got caught up in that glory. See, when you're in the glory realm, you get the benefit of getting translated and transported. You don't have to stay here, because the glory realm, very misunderstood realm, it's not just the cloud of glory. The glory realm is the operation of him that was, is, and is to come. You know, like Peter, James, and John, when they came up into the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that? You remember in Peter, James, and John, they went into the glory. It overshadowed them. And Peter writes about it in his book. 2 Peter, you know what he said? When we made known unto you the second coming of the Lord Jesus. We weren't giving old wise fable tales. We were eyewitnesses. We have a more sure word of prophecy. You would do well to listen to us. How could they write about the second coming from an encounter on the Mount of Transfiguration? Because they were all translated into the majestic glory of our hour and day. Go to Isaiah 60. Isaiah now is on the other side of this encounter. He's writing about the glory that he saw, that those seraphim were prophesying about, that you and I are about to enter into. And for this glory to come the way God wants it to come, he's bringing a kingdom in now. We're on the precipice of the kingdom age of the church. The glory of God entering in and the kingdom mandate of God entering into the earth by way of the crown and all the glory and all the wisdom and all that God's going to accomplish through it. Verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth. No doubt about it. Gross darkness to people. I don't think we even begin to see. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory will be seen. That is exactly what happened to Solomon. That's exactly what Haggai was saying, that the glory of the latter-day house would be greater than the former. It's just not going to be seen on a temple. It's going to be seen on your temple. It's going to be seen on our temple, and the glory of God manifesting through his people in the last day. And the Gentiles, watch this, saying it right again, shall come to your light. Kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All that gather themselves together, they come to thee. The sun shall come from afar. The daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together. And your heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea shall be converted to thee. You know what the abundance of the sea is? That's salvation. The abundance of the Dead Sea will be converted. And the forces of the Gentile. You know what the forces of the Gentile? That's the wealth. Here again, he's prophesying a day of the glory of God. Mass salvation, wealth transference, the glory of God and the light of God coming on his people. Amen. Verse 11. Therefore, thy gates shall be opened. He has a lot to say about us. Don't put yourself in the world. Put yourself in the light. If you're walking in the light, he has a lot to say about you. If you're walking in the darkness, he has a lot to say about you. If you're walking between them, he doesn't say much. He says a few things. The gate shall be open continuously. The continual gates of the kingdom of God will be open to you. It's not like it is right now, because the kingdom age is coming on us. The hour of the crown, I call it the dispensation of the crown. They shall not be shut. No more open one day, shut the next day. No more glory to God today and what happened tomorrow. The gate shall be open. Your gate, your temple gate, open continuously. Shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto you the wealth of the nations, and that their kings may be brought in. Go down to verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. This is where the glory is coming in. He's poetic here, but he's still talking about, this is not talking about thousand year millennial reign here. This is talking about last day glory. Neither though the brightness of the moon give light unto thee, the Lord shall be the everlasting light, the God of glory. The glory will be upon us so much. You'll see in that dimension far greater than this dimension. You're not going to walk by the light of this dimension because you're going to be in the light of that dimension. Watch this. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself. What he's saying is, you don't have any more darkness. Darkness is going to swallow up in the light. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. There's going to be an ending to the mourning of the body of Christ, and a day of reigning at hand. For the people shall all be righteous. They shall what? Inherit the land. The branch of my planting. The work of my hands. Inherit the land. Say inherit the land. That I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand. That's the capacity. A little believer is going to become like a thousand believers. And a strong one, you know, people like you in this church, you're going to become a nation, a strong nation. He said, even a small one will become a strong nation. That's the capacity of light that's going to be poured out of every temple coming in. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Say, I am a strong nation. I am a strong nation in Christ. Or you can say, Christ in me is a strong. Listen, your flesh is nothing, but in the Christ in you is going to become a strong nation in this last hour. Let's shift for a moment. He speaks of this latter day how. He says, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Now, God specifically mentions this in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12. And then we're going to get into what's actually being shaken and what God has to say about it, why he's shaking it, and why the wealth. There's a lot of reasons why the wealth is coming into your hands. It's not just to make you rich. That's not really what he's after. There's several major reasons why this is going to happen. It's part of a global judgment that God is going to commence upon the world system. Amen. Hebrews 12, if you'll go down to verse 22, he's going to mention this in verse 26. We can just go there. He's just talking about between that. He's just saying, don't refuse him that's speaking from the heavens. Verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. And he's talking about him that's speaking from the right hand of God. He didn't come to a mount that can't be touched. You come to a mountain you can touch. You've come to a mountain you can dwell in. See. Says, see that you don't refuse his call to his mountain. For if they escape not and refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that's speaking from heaven? He's calling us up. And he specifically now is going to speak about Haggai's prophecy. Now remember what's in that prophecy for a moment. Because he said, once again, I'll shake the heavens, the earth, sea, and dry land. Treasures of all nations come to my house. Silver is mine, gold is mine. Latter-day house be filled with the glory. Right? So he's talking about that right here. And he says, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he's promised, saying yet once more. Now he's going to quote Haggai. Saying once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Everything's getting shaken. He's not actually talking about heaven, heaven. Heaven is on the rock. He's talking about the heavens, the second heaven. The whole thing is going to get shaken. Once it starts, there's going to be levels of judgment. They're going to come one after another after another. We're going to be part of divine justice and divine judgment and God's solution in the earth. Then he's going to continue on after us. But today we're just talking about us. Everyone say amen. And he said in this word, he goes, whose voice it shook the earth and now promise saying, yet once more I'll shake the earth. Not only the earth, but the heavens also. See, the heavens are going to get shaken down in the last days. Not in our dispensation, but in the final when the heavens are going to get cleared out. When you talk about the heavens, second heavens, he's going to empty the second heavens out. They're coming down. In fact, he's going to throw down the principalities and powers down. You read Revelation 12 and 13, midway through tribulation, he throws them down. He says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, the devil's come down to you. They're going to be displaced. That's part of that shaking, but that's not our part. He goes also to heaven. But this word, yet once more, say yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. The ones he talked about in Haggai, which is now in the New Testament, that wasn't fulfilled in the early church, it will get fulfilled in our generation. As the things that are made, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made. Creations are the systems of man. The systems of this world, those systems are going to be shaken violently. And they're going to be thrown down. In the last days, as God's moving a kingdom in, that's far greater than any system. Some of these systems have been around a long time, deeply integrated, taught generationally. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, verse 28, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. What's coming out from the realm of the glory. He said, don't refuse him speaking from the realm of the glory. Because he's calling you the realm of glory to receive a kingdom. In this hour, in this day, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, cannot be moved. And it's moving into the earth. And it's going to displace the systems the built by mankind and built by principalities and powers. It's going to start displacing these things in an unprecedented manner. The control systems of the world, everything you see on media, every decision's being made. There's people behind the scenes. You don't even hear their voice. But they are the ones calling all the shots. They are the ones that are orchestrating right now, endeavoring to orchestrate a communist, socialistic style operation over this nation to unseat the nationalist spirit of this nation and move it into subjection and control like the other ones. They want one thing, world dominance. They want an upper elite class. They want poverty, mass poverty, and they want to break the middle class. People don't even understand the dollar bills that are in your pocket are debt. They're backed by nothing but your confidence in it. They used to be backed. Used to, they'd have the gold reserve and silver reserves. And then they would print according to those reserves. And then they got greedy. They wanted more. So they went, they took 10% reserve. And then they could print. If you had 10%, I could print 90%. And then they went to 1% reserves. So if I had $1 worth of gold, I could print $100 worth of currency. Even that wasn't enough. Here's the game. We go to war. Like with Iraq, Kuwait. As soon as we go to war, we invade. When we invade, we then devalue their currency and wipe it out completely. Case in point, Iraqi dinar. During Saddam Hussein's day, before we invaded, one U.S. dollar, I'll say it like this, one Iraqi dinar was worth $3.50 U.S. One Iraqi dinar. Now you can buy 1 million dinars for about $1,000. Pre-war, that had been worth about $3.5 million. They devalue the currency, buy it all up, and then revalue. That's the game. They go from one country to another. If you're boss and head honcho of the currency, you can do that. Fortunately, up until about right now, we have benefited as a nation from what I would call the currency masters. The ones that pull all the strings that nobody talks about. The ones pulling all the strings, you don't ever hear their name. They're hiding behind all the other ones, but they are the ones that are in control of the systematic funding of socialistic, communistic, regime-type people, moving them into government places to overthrow this nation, to move it under socialistic control. God foresaw all this in this hour, in this day. And God's solution was a crown. A crown that was once in the earth, that originated back in Abraham's day when he made a whole bunch of promises to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob, and he buried them into a mountain, and that mountain started producing fruit, and the 12 spies came in to Mount Hebron, and they saw all the fruit coming out of that anointing that was buried, and Caleb and end up Herod in that mountain. And then David, he was crowned first in that mountain. And then all of that came into Solomon's generation. And then he goes, I'll bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. I'm going to bring my seed. And Christ comes and he inherits the crown of David. Before he inherited that crown, Solomon said something so interesting in all that realm of glory when nothing, everything was put down. It was a time of glory, which Haggai was prophesying. This was what the church would be moving into, a time of ruling and reigning, not oppression. The church already did that in the early days. They already survived all of that. This is a different type of operation, and God has a solution for what's coming. And Solomon said, listen, there is neither evil occurrence or adversary anywhere in my kingdom. All of mammon had been put down by his father David before he gave him that crown. That crown had already put all of mammon down. Christ inherits it. It sits in the right hand of God. He set him on the throne of David in the right hand of God. He took that throne and all the glory of it and all the battles and all the inheritance and all the victories, and he took it up into the heavens. Christ inherited it for you. He sits on the throne of David now. Upon the throne of David. He promised the man would sit. He never set it up on his earth, on the earth. He sits on it now. He says, after the throne of David, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment from henceforth and forever. He said, in the increase of his government and peace that will come out of that throne, there'll be no end. Perfected it. But then, in the generations leading into the last days, God comes in and he opens the door. He opens the door. So let's go to the open door. He sets this open door. Now, why is he doing this? Because, see, you don't understand, because we live in America. We've gotten the good end of a fiat currency system. You understand in Bretton Woods in 1944, they took America completely off the gold standard. That used to be the judge. Everything, the gold standard was the judge. When they took it completely off, they moved it then to interest rates. And they controlled everything by interest rates and inflation. Printing of money. It's great if you own the printing press. Who owns that printing press? Well, the U.S. government. Wrong. The U.S. government does not own the printing press. Let me share with you who owns it. It was conceived in Jekyll Island in the early 1900s, called the Creature from Jekyll Island, Florida. They conceived and hatched what was called the Federal Reserve. They had to make it look like a government institution, but far from it. Controlled by ruling elite families that have been controlling since the 1600s. Their game is create wars, chaos, order out of chaos. It's actually written on your dollar bill. Order out of chaos, but it's really more like control out of chaotic events. They create chaos. And Ansel Rothschild himself said, when blood is running deep in Paris, we buy. Because what they would do, it didn't matter to them. They would make loans. The mother of the four Rothschild sons said, listen, there wouldn't be any wars in the earth right now if my sons didn't want them. That was a statement she made publicly. They would create wars and fund both sides. Funding of both sides. Didn't matter to them. It says, and their own statement was this, give me the power to control the credit or the debt of a nation, and I care not who makes their laws. Because the credit is going to be greater than the law. The power of credit. Debt. Give me the power to produce a debt ridden economy, and I don't care what your laws are. You see, that system moved in. Thomas Jefferson resisted hard against the central bank coming in. They lost that battle. Once they moved the central bank in, the debt system started. And all of a sudden, now it's nothing for us to create $2 trillion worth of debt. Government likes it. Politicians like it. You know why they like it? Because they get it free. When they say we're going to borrow $1 trillion, they are never going to pay that back. That is not how it works. You didn't know you were going to get a lesson today in how the true economy works, did you? Do you see the debt being removed, or do you see it keep accumulating? They're creating the debt. All they want, the central banks, they create the debt. The governments borrow the debt. The government and the central banks are in bed together. Now, when they create the debt, they create it out of nothing. But it has all kind of control with it. Because it's a system created by man, not God. It wasn't his wealth-based system. It was debt-based system. Currency-based debt. To keep it rolling, they have to keep the debt going. That's why the little Milky Way bar that used to cost you 5 cents when you were growing up, remember? Those of you who've been around long enough, cost you a nickel. Remember? Now it's $1.25, $1.50, $2.50. Man, what a quarter would buy. Got expensive. None of those goods have changed. What's changed is The accumulation of the money supply keeps increasing because they keep expanding it. Because expand is worth less. That's called inflation. Now, with all that said, there's a reason. That is a system created by man. Now, what they do with that system is they control with it. They loan money to nations, never wanting them to pay them back. They're loaning to get them under debt so they can control them. God foresaw the day where they were going to make this play. They want the global agenda and they want it now. But God has another plan. I know nobody thinks like that. But you better start thinking now, because it's a very real battle we're in. The soul of the nation, but the soul of our livelihood and the church. Now, we can get the job done under persecution, but that is not what God's calling us to do. The crown's coming in, far greater than the systems of this world. Now go to Revelation 3. God is about to bring some help out of Zion. The crown is getting positioned to come in right now. This crown has been working for a long time, but it's getting positioned to come into the earth right now with an innumerable company of angels. And when it comes in, it's going to begin the true shaking of the nations, the unseating of the global machine that's trying to bring a world order into the earth. God is going to massively interrupt their plans. Because what's about to happen is the church is about to come up now. The church is about to come into the age of the kingdom. He says, therefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, but it will shake everything, because that kingdom's coming with a crown, and that crown, when it comes into the earth, it will shake down the systems that man created. Amen. The creations of man will not overturn the kingdom of God in this hour. We are not that suffering church. That church was called to suffer in the early days and overcome. We have another battle. To the angel, messenger of the church in Philadelphia. I'm talking about his spiritual church. These things say he's holy, he is true, he has the key. You can say to the house of David, the key to the house. What's the key to? It opens the door. He goes, my son sits on a throne that I've reserved for the last days to this last day church. No, it's a last day, because I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation coming upon the whole world. I'm going to open a door for a church to come into the realm of my glory, to access my house and bring it back down into the earth. And with that house is the crown. With that house is all the glory of the 24-hour priesthood. With that house is all the wisdom of Solomon, and the greater than Solomon that sits on that throne. Wisdom and glory, power and might. I want to open a door to a house, because I'm going to have judgment into the earth. He's not judging people. Well, he will. He's judging systems right now. And if you're in the system, well, you're going to get some of it. Because this crown is coming to judge systems. He's going to tip the scale and balance it out. He that opened it, no man can shut it. To the day we entered into it, that gate has not been shut. We have granted access. We've seen it. We've perambulated. We've dwelt. And now we're seeing the glory of it coming down into the earth, getting ready for the Lord to create a brand new day in the earth. Verse 8, I know your works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. You've had little strength, but you kept my word. Twice he said about this church that he kept his word. Look at 9. Now you're going to know who he's talking about. This is the last day church. God opens the door for another crown to come in. That crown is about to go butt heads with a fallen earthly crown. and the masters of the earthly crown. That crown is coming in to butt heads with a system created by man to overthrow it, to move everything back to the silver and gold economy in God, to have a mass final revival on an economy he builds out from heaven into the earth, the kingdom coming down to unseat the systems of this world. Amen. Behold, now you're going to understand who these people are. These are the ones you don't ever see. These are the ones that are calling all the shots behind the scenes. These are the ones your media works for. Not your media, but the world's media. These are the ones that half those politicians are working for. A global socialist order are working for. There's a few men. I think it was President Kennedy that said even back in his day, you know what he said? He said, there's eight people that control the whole world. But you'll never know who they are. Why is it you never hear the name Rothschild or Rockefeller ever mentioned in news media? On the richest of the richest elite, why aren't their names ever put up there? You know, the richest people in the world? They're the ones who create the money. Verse 9. Who do you think is creating that dollar bill? It's not your government. It's the Federal Reserve. Behind the guy they appoint and all that, there are ruling elite families that create that currency. And they create the euros. And they create the yuan. They create the currencies that the whole system runs off of. But now they want to use that system to control all nations. It's not enough anymore to have liberty and freedom. They want control now. And they're moving fast for it. And God is bringing in the answer. I told you I was going to get heavy today. But it's understanding you need to know what's going on right now in the spirit and what's going on out there behind the scenes. Verse 9, you got to hear this one. I will make them in the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but they are not. Well, what's he talking about? House of David, crown, opening the house, opening a governmental house. And then he talks about one that's in the earth. I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say the Jews are not, but they do lie. Behold, I'll make them come and worship before your feet to know that I've loved you. Now, don't even think for a moment they're going to come worship before your feet. That is a saying in the Bible. I'm going to make their system bow. But there are people who don't want it. They serve a fallen crown. They want to continue the debt creation system. They don't want to let go of it. That's the battle right now. The battle is between the two systems. A crown of heaven coming out and an earthly counterfeit crown that wants to continue the debt-based system. And that's why in Haggai, which you can make your way back over there with your iPad. That's why in Haggai, watch what he says. Watch what he says. He tells you in Hebrews, he speaks of this scripture saying it's yet to be fulfilled. You know, Hebrews, about half the time Paul's looking into another realm. He said, let's go to perfection after the order of Melchizedek, after a king, priest, government. Let us go into the glory realm. Let us go into the realm. And he's looking into this kingdom realm. He's trying to get everybody to. And he's only 2,000 years away from it. That's what happens to the apostolic. You get way out. It's an unfulfilled scripture. According to Hebrews, it's yet to come. In our day, it's about to happen. Now, I'm going to read this and I'm going to share something with you. Now, look at verse 6 again. With everything you just heard, read it in that light. Sometimes they don't want to hear stuff like this. They want to go on, but I'm telling you, you don't get that opportunity anymore. This stuff is all right in our face now. The whole nation stuff is right controls in our face. We don't live in some of these economies that shut whole churches down right now. Thank God we can still operate. But that's what they want. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I'll shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and dry land. Now what's he shaking? I'll shake all nations. I'm bringing judgment to a system that's trying to override the world. and the treasures of all nations, as a result of my judgments, the treasures of all nations will fill this house with glory, and a latter-day house of glory will emerge. Say, emerge. And the glory of this latter-day house will be greater than Solomon's day. Does that sound like a suffering church or an overcoming church? Full of kings and priests, reigning in government, reigning in glory. The silver's mine, the gold is mine. God said, I'm putting this thing back on a real heavenly economy. I'm going to come and judge the systems of this world. They've been great for us for a while. Not going to be so great anymore. They want to break the whole thing now. But God said, I'm going to put everything back into a real heavenly economy built on silver and gold. All you RVers out there, it's silver gold backed. It's coming. That's the battle right now. Now, drop down a little further. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation now. There is Christ, our King, is about to emerge, bringing a crown down that's going to topple and bring judgment to the financial systems. And that is what he is shaking. The shaking, the control mechanism of the nations over nations. Now, verse 18, New Living Translation. Think about verse 18 in the New Living Translation under the Hebrew lunar calendar. Think about this 18th day of December, when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Think carefully. I'm giving you a promise now while the seed is still in the barn. Is the seed still in the barn? You have not yet harvested your grain, because there's a system that doesn't want you to harvest it, that God is pronouncing a judgment on. Your grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, and olive trees have not yet produced their crops, but from this day forward, I will bless you. On that same day of December 18th, the Lord sent the second message. He sent a second message. Haggai, tell Zerubbabel. Man, we know a lot about Zerubbabel. We got Larubbables. Chuckables. So when this 18 days, tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. Now, watch this. What's he prophesying? He's prophesying the release out of captivity. Babylonian captivity. But I said, and he said, tell governor Judah, I'm about to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow, watch this, royal thrones. The ones you never hear about, because the royals that control everything. Royal earthly thrones. I'm going to overthrow the thrones and their systems. I'm going to destroy the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and the riders, and the horses will fall and their riders will turn upon another. I'm going to overthrow it. I'm going to bring a new system in. And when this happens, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I'll honor you. Christ, Zerubbabel, I'll make you as the signet ring upon my finger. I'm going to bring the crown in. The crown that destroyed the kingdoms in the first place, going to do the same thing again. And it's going to unseat the systems of this world. And there will be a mass wealth transference, not just to make us rich. One purpose, to destroy the systems of this world, to unseat them and cause them to bow for a season while the kings and reign in the earth. The second reason is the fund, the mass global harvest of the last days. boom, with glory, manifested glory, with the bana of the manifested wisdom. That is where we are right now. Let no man take your crown. This is our crown. And this is our house. And this is our time. And we're not going to be moved. Not to the left, not to the right.